Well, let's see how CEOs are viewing the global economic recovery. KPMG is out today with its latest look into how CEOs in the U.S. view the economy and other key issues. KPMG U.S. Chair and CEO Paul Knopf joins us to talk about some of those findings. Paul, good to see you as always here. One thing that stood out to me in here is that CEOs are generally still more confident in the U.S. recovery, but less confident in the global recovery. Why do you think we're seeing that disparity?
Yeah, Brian, that is true, and it's good to be with you again today. I will tell you, though, that confidence in the global economy is increasing. There was a marked improvement in confidence from our last survey 6 or 7 months ago with respect to the global economy. But it is true that CEOs are much more optimistic about their own prospects for their companies and the domestic economy. I'd also say, too, that confidence is definitely reflected in their optimism around doing significant acquisitions. You know, almost half of CEOs reported that they would make an acquisition that significantly impacts their organization to strategically grow their organizations. And that's really in the face of a lot of risks and uncertainties right now. You know, we have potential new tax legislation coming our way, both on the U.S. front and globally with potential minimum taxes. And we also have, you know, concerns around supply chain disruption, cyber risk. Of course, the continuing COVID-19 pandemic is creating uncertainty, with return to work being in focus in the study, too. And I would just mention that with respect to return to work, it's interesting that the top operational risk that they mentioned would be the employee value proposition as they move forward in a red hot labor market where there's still a lot of burnout that we need to be concerned about as CEOs.
You know, Paul, I wanted to double click on that M&A point, you know, for a second and just kind of get your sense of where M&A tells us maybe we're at in this recovery cycle. Certainly some dynamics, amazingly, in the economy almost look late cycle. Other parts were still in a deep hole, you know, from the pandemic induced recession. How do you see that landscape with, again, almost half of CEOs looking to make some kind of move here? Where does that fit in cyclically in your view?
Yeah, Miles, I think with the strong response by the U.S. government, both monetary and fiscal stimulus with low interest rates, a lot of investable cash, strong balance sheets, and we certainly see a lot of interest in M&A and a lot of M&A in the banking, the fintech sectors, technology, media, telecom. And quite frankly, it's true of almost every industry. There is anticipated to be more mergers and acquisitions moving forward. And we also know there's about $1.5 trillion of investable cash sitting in private equity funds awaiting investment. And I think that creates a longer term potential cycle of more M&A, say, in the 3 to 5 year horizon. I think we'll be very busy as we move forward into the future with more transactions and really companies looking at transforming their business models and becoming more digital with their own transformation to really compete. And, you know, I think being digital also helps us compete both in the U.S. and globally and become more efficient as we move forward.
Paul, you just mentioned that CEOs are thinking about how to address employee burnout. How are they looking to address this, given that burnout perhaps getting worse? I mean, we're almost, 2 years into this pandemic. Is what we're seeing, what we saw from Nike this week, where they gave off a week off to their employees, are we likely to see that from more companies?
I think so, Brian. We are certainly encouraging employees to take their personal time off. You know, we are truncating meetings. We're providing no video Fridays at KPMG, for instance, heads down on Wednesday and encouraging people not to meet in person on Wednesday, meet virtually. We're also trying to welcome people back to the office where they feel comfortable being in the office. And we actually have had some reception to that. We've had some people in our offices, but we also recognize that we face a lot of uncertainty with respect to the Delta variant right now. And we are continuing to tell our employees to work where you are comfortable. And we are emphasizing that we're going to build a very flexible environment going forward, a hybrid environment, which is still under design. I think we have to understand that as we move forward as business leaders, we still have to design that future state to make our organizations future ready for the kinds of organizations that employees actually do want to work for. And we're thinking about that constantly. We're laser focused on our employees and our organizational cultures moving forward.
And how are you addressing, and even CEOs more broadly, how do you think it should be addressed, the compensation disparities? The fact is, a lot of people have moved during the pandemic to lower cost locales. Should they be making the same amount they were if they were living in a high cost environment pre-pandemic.
Yeah, that certainly is a popular topic, and I think it is not quite to the point yet where it's been fully addressed. I think as we design that future state, and you certainly see in the results of our survey, that we want to create more flexible work environments where employees can work closer to home, even when they're not working at home. And I do think a lot of thought's going to be given to the locations of employees, where they're going to reside as we move forward. But I think we're in the early stages of thinking through those kinds of design aspects of compensation strategies and where people work in the future. But there's no doubt that it's a matter of intense focus for businesses moving forward.
And then, you know, Paul, finally, just thinking about supply chain challenges right now, and you know, it was sort of a conversation maybe last year and sort of fallen off a little bit, but this, you know, just-in-time supply chain economy that we had all grown up in over the last 30 or 40 years certainly has had its challenges. How seriously are some of the folks that you're talking to looking at, you know, onshoring or verticalizing, however they would frame that, just so that you don't have, as is happening right now, whatever you might be importing, sitting on a boat off the Port of Los Angeles and no real visibility on when you're going to get that product.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We are helping many organizations with supply chain planning, contingency planning around supply chains. You know, we have labor shortages, we have raw material shortages, we have traffic congestion, really complicated environment right now. And there's no doubt that companies are looking at onshoring, they're looking at nearshoring, they're looking at other ways of offshoring. They're looking at how the pandemic is affecting their supply chains, and they're looking for backup plans, contingency plans, to ensure that they can continue to get the product they need to be successful in their businesses. So there's no doubt it's really complicated. I think that companies are expecting some alleviated measures once other countries get more of the vaccination. I think, you know, once the vaccinations get into more parts of the world, CEOs recognize we're going to be in a better place. But I think we have some time to work through that still. And for the meantime, you know, supply chains and cyber will be in focus as we move forward.
KPMG, U.S. Chair and CEO Paul Knopp, always good to see you. Have a great Labor Day weekend.
You too. Take care now.